you would, the book of Romans this morning, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Amen. Thank you for being here once again. And thank God for His goodness, His mercy, and His kindness to us. And once again, I can't say it enough. I'm grateful God just hand been with us this week. Let's continue to pray for our neighbors that God will be with them. Amen. Romans chapter 13, and I'll give you a moment to get there. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 13 and verse 11 through 14. And this morning I'm going to preach to you, and I got 3 points, and that's going to be my title. It's going to be Wake Up, Throw Off, and Put On. Wake Up, Throw Off, and Put On. And I'm kind of excited because you're going to hear me say wake up a lot this morning, and on a Sunday morning that can be very fitting. And so if you hear me say wake up, and if you are one of those that have dozed off, I'm not offended and don't think I'm calling you out. But nevertheless, you're going to hear that a few times this morning. Amen. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Wake up, throw off, and put on. Amen. And we'll just go ahead and preach this morning. I know we've been doing some praying, but the introduction to this, I just want to show you real quick. And just follow along, as during this message, I will be coming to you just strictly out of Romans 13. I will reference some other verses. But Paul here is using some imagery here, and I've never put this together, but doing a little studying about it, about a Roman soldier, about his need to wake up. Reading about the situation here, one writer puts it this way. Here is a soldier on the eve of battle who had stayed up late in the night partying. The next morning, a blast from the trumpet. He is to throw off his slumber. He is to throw off all those different things, and he is to put on the armor and to get ready for battle. But here, if we're to understand this as a spiritual application to us, Paul here is speaking to the Christian along those terms. He is saying to us that it's basically time to realize the urgency of the hour in which we are living. It is time to wake up. It's time to put on the proper garment. It's time to put on the armor. It is time. It is the hour in which we live. We need to have the proper mindset, and we need to understand the urgency of the hour in which we live. In church, my Lord, hear me this morning. We are living in an urgent day. We are living in an urgent hour, and it is very easy to enter into a state of spiritual laziness or spiritual apathy, I guess you could say. Here it is, you can take it easy. You can be slumbering. You can be so concerned with the cares of this life that you do not enter in and do the things in which God wants you to do. As my title here shows us, there are 3 commands that we're going to talk about in these verses. Number one, we're going to say, wake up. Amen. And that might not be the first time you've heard it this morning. Somebody might have told you to wake up earlier. But this morning, we're going to talk about the spiritual aspect of what it is to wake up. Then we're going to talk about what it is to throw off. And then we're going to talk about what it is to put on. Number one, our first point here this morning, wake up. And it is found here in verses 11 through the first part of verse 12. And it says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What this is a call to immediate action. action. This is a call to tell us that it is a time to act. This is no time to sleep. This is no time to slumber. There are pressing things that are at hand. It's time to wake up. And that is the spiritual command that Paul is giving here in these verses in the book of Romans. Once again, it's not time for sleep. It's time to awake. It is no longer time to be involved with the deeds of darkness. He's saying it is time that you awaken to this hour. So what does this mean to us spiritually here this morning? What is Paul trying to say? It's a call to understand that there's something that we are supposed to be busy doing. I want to go and put it this way. I've always heard it my whole life, and you've heard it before. God didn't save you just to sit on that pew. Amen. God didn't save you just for you to come to church and to get a little check mark in your name in the Sunday school box. That's a part of it. That is good. But if we're not careful, we enter into the state of just spiritual existence where we are just slumbering, we are sleeping, we are existing, we are relaxing, when really God has called us in an hour of urgency. There's a call to do something with your life. This is not a time for that low around. This is a time to be alert, a time to wake up, a time to get your priorities right. And my God of heaven, help us today. If there's ever a time that we need to get our priorities right when it comes to the things of God, it is now. It is now, brothers and sisters. We are living in a time where it's so easy just to get negligent in your spiritual walk. You may come to church, you may exist, you may read your Bible, and thank God that you do those things. And we need to see faithfulness in all of those areas. But I want to ask you really deep down, spiritually, are you alive unto God? Or are you fervent in your life? Are you seeking Him? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you making an impact for the kingdom of God? Are you making an impact in your household? Do you have on the whole armor of God and fighting in these last days? It's time to wake up, brothers and sisters. Have you moved? Have you lost ground? Are you as spiritual as you were last year? Have you taken any steps backwards in the last season of your life? We've got to wake up and realize we're living in an urgent hour, and our priorities must be straight. We live in a world where our priorities are mixed up. Look, I realize we live on this footstool, and many of you are going to punch that time clock. You got to work that job. I know all these things. Many of you, we got bills to pay, don't you? Well, thank God for heaven, you ain't gonna have to pay no mortgage in heaven. People said, you know, what was the price that Jesus paid? How powerful was that payment? I mean, it gets you, I mean, not only does it save you and forgive you, but you get to go to live in heaven with Him. You get to come back. I mean, He even gives you, you know, some people like the whole mansion idea. You get to dwell with the Lord. Thank God that there's all these future things that we worry about now. We're not going to have to worry about then. I understand the cares of life are real. I realize our health can go down. I realize that sometimes our mind doesn't always operate the best. And we have a tendency to get discouraged this day and depressed this day, but be happy this day. We have a tendency, we hear bad news, that's going to happen. We live in a time that it's easy to lose ground spiritually, to kind of just exist as if you will. But God's not asking you that today. He's wanting you to wake up. He wants you to know the times that you are living in. We are living in urgent times, brothers and sisters. He says this, knowing the time. Now, don't look at your watch. I've got a few minutes. So don't worry about what time it is right now, as far as what the clock is saying. What this is saying in the Bible is knowing the age, knowing the dispensation, knowing the time is what it's saying is. It's saying, look, know the age in which you are living. It's being able to recognize that where we are spiritually as a people, where we are as a church, what age are we in? What dispensation are we in? And we understand ever since Jesus died, and then you go through the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost was sent. We are living in the end times. That's when it started back then. We are living in the end times. We are living in this dispensation. Yes, we're waiting for the Lord to return. I know that. But right now, we are living in an urgent time. We are living in perilous times. The Bible says here, you're living in high time. You cannot sleep any longer. You've got to get up. You've got to do something. You've got to go forward. You've got to work for the kingdom of God. We know what it is when something's high time. You can't get no higher than high time. It just means it's urgent. Many of you might be familiar, as I am at times, with that snooze button on the clock. You know, my wife laughs at me because on my cell phone I use it as an alarm clock. I've got an alarm set at 5, 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock, 6:02. And guess what? I don't always have to use all those. But guess what? There's been a time or two that at 5 o'clock I looked over and said, not yet. And 5:15 and 5:30, but when them alarms start getting closer together, I said, you know, it is high time. I can't lay here any longer. The urgency is here. And what I'm trying to tell you is, you know what I'm talking about. When you have to get up, you must at that moment. You can't hit the snooze any longer, or you might get in trouble on the job. You can't hit the snooze any longer, or something else. You know, you've got to get up. You got to go. That's what Paul's saying here. It's high time. You can't keep hitting snooze on the spiritual alarm clock. You can't keep saying, well, I don't know if it's me, or if I don't know if it's today, or if I don't know if God's asking me. No, God's saying, yes, it is you. Yes, it is the time. You can't keep hitting snooze. You got to get up and do something for Jesus. You've got to do something for the kingdom of God. He said, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Now, we understand, because that can be confusing for some. But salvation, really, what we break it down to often is in the threefold sense. We know that the day you repent of your sins, you are saved. That is salvation. You are rescued from the penalty of sin. We know that you are also saved from the power of sin through sanctification. But then we know one day, which is futuristic, we are going to be delivered from the presence of sin, and that is called glorification. All of that is a part of our salvation. So when Paul is saying our salvation is nearer than when we believed, he is saying that our blessed hope, that glorifying moment, the rapture of the church leading into the second coming of Christ, that is nearer than when we believe. And brothers and sisters, if it was near in Paul's day, how much nearer is it now? If it was close when Paul felt the imminent return of Christ was soon, how much should you and I in these last days believe that we are nearing the end? We look around at the signs of the time. We look around at the increase of technology. We see the cup of iniquity being overflowing. We see the doctors and scientists trying to play God, doing all these different experiments, and we could go on. We see the abortion, and we see the perversion on every hand. We are living in perilous times. But I want to let you know today, be reminded, wake up. You can't keep sleeping, because the Lord's return is soon, and if you don't go to meet him in the air, you'll be left here. And my, what a tragedy that's going to be. We have to have an urgency. We need an urgency in service for our King. If you've ever felt an urgency in your heart to work for God, let it be now. You ever see the help wanted signs? You know, I wouldn't put one of those outside the church, because you get a mixed bunch. I realize that. But the church needs workers. We need workers. We need people that are willing and able to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to help the ministry. We need an urgency in our evangelism. Yes, it's good to pray for them, and we do every week, pray for our lost loved ones. But my, we need to step that up some. We need to make sure we're doing something to try to make sure they realize that time is short. We also need an urgency in holy living. This isn't a time to slack up. This is a time to give it all for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why it is when people get saved, they're so zealous at first, so submitted, and so humble. And man, they get a year underneath their belt, or two, or give it a little bit more. And they want to start saying, well, I don't know if it's all that's necessary. I don't know, you know, and that ought not be. That should not be the case. But I have seen it more than once, that somebody, when they get saved, they've been saved, serving the Lord X amount of years. Sometimes they loosen up. Sometimes they don't seem to dig in like they did when they first got saved. But I want to let you know, you ought to have just as much tenacity 20 years into it. If not, you should have more than the day you first got saved. Your faith should not diminish. Your faith should grow. Your faith should not weaken, but it should strengthen. God, help us once again to awake and realize we need to strengthen our faith. There needs to be an urgency in service. There needs to be an urgency in evangelism. There needs to be an urgency in holy living. We need to have an urgency in these last days. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 5 and 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then that ye shall walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, it is a time to take an inventory. The way that you're living and the way that you are walking, that's what we have to do. We have to realize it's high time. We have to redeem the time. It's an evil day. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drinking are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. What is Paul saying in all these passages? Wake up and get ready and fight the good fight. You've got to, church. And I wish there was a button to push somewhere. I've said this 100 times, where somebody was instantly spiritual overnight. Now, you can speed up the process and surrender. But right now, analyze your own life. And I'm by no means, if I'm trying to throw a shroud of a condemnation on you, but I do want you to feel convicted. I do want you to feel convicted. Are you really living this as you should? Or are you a part-time Christian? Are you just trying to skirt by? Are you just trying to make it another day? That's not the way God intended us to do this. It says in verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Once again, this shows us something about the age in which we live. Night represents man's era. It represents man's time. This dispensation is a time of darkness, lack of knowledge, death, sickness, sin, creation's travail, the reign of the curse. We are living in the nighttime right now. Yes, there's good things. Yes, the light is shining. Yes, there's times. Yes, we'd be a light that's on a hill. Why is that? Because we're living in dark times. It is a dark day that we are living in. But the Bible here is telling us the night is almost gone. This age is almost over. Most of man's time is almost gone. And we have gotten so accommodated to that, that how do we get people to realize the urgency of the hour? We're becoming sermon proof. We're becoming Sunday school proof. We're becoming teacher proof, to where we hear these things so much that you, I hope you don't think this way, but you may even be out there this morning and say, Brother Derek's on one of those kicks again, trying to get us going. He's yelling at us again, trying to fire us up. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And if I have to scream it at the top of my lungs, just that maybe some spark of spirituality would spark inside of your heart and catch fire, and that you would seek more of God. Yes, I am doing that. Yes. It's exactly what I'm doing. What kind of method is that? It's called Holy Ghost preaching. I realize there's some folks, it ain't nothing you can say to some people to get them going. When somebody's been asleep long enough and dead long enough, it's like trying to start that lawnmower at the beginning of spring. You gotta choke it, get the old gas out of it. Some people, and even me at times, and some of all of us, just need to just get a fresh touch all over again. Gotten so callous to the preaching that we don't realize we're like that Roman soldier that's just laying there. He hears the trumpet, but does he realize there's an enemy at his front door? Does he realize that his family and his wife and his kids could be destroyed here soon? It's not a time to get unspiritual. It's time to wake up. And don't fool yourself to think that you can live the world's way and have some great spiritual success. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it time and time again. The world will take more from you than you will ever receive in benefit. Well, I'll be carnal for 5 years. You go ahead. You may lose your children.
Oh, you know what? I think I'll just take that church attendance thing and, you know, listen to up there and good old Pentecostal preaching, and, you know, that stuff's for the birds anyhow. You know, I'd rather go up here where I can have a little devotion, when really some of you don't need devotion. You need deliverance. You need deliverance from your despondency. You need to awake out of Zion. You need to shake off the slumberous. You need to wipe your eyes and realize this is the hour in which we live. There's an urgent hour in the day we're in. I feel the Spirit of God today pressing this. Wake up, church. Wake up into the day in which we are living. Wake up. Derek, wake up. Put your name there. Wake up. Yeah, you still need to pray. Yeah, you still need to study His Word. Yeah, you still need to fast. Yeah, you still need to come to church. You still need to evangelize. There's nowhere in here that we're going to read in the Bible that Paul says, you know what, take it easy. Ain't nothing. You don't have to do all that stuff. You know, just lay back. You know, spiritual living. You know, just enjoy life. You know, just live the American dream. No, no, no. He says, put on the armor. Stand your ground. That's where we're living. We're not in a time to be in casual. And I know God gives us times of reprieve. And I know there's a practical side of this, that you don't want to live condemned. And there's some things that you cannot. You can't save everybody. I know that, but you ought to always be God conscious and spiritually alert in the day in which we live. I'm not trying to condemn you in that sense, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to fight the good fight of faith with everything you've got. I listened to something this morning, this week, somebody had shared on the internet, and it was a preacher, and I like what he said. He said, men go to bed tired. At first I said, what is he talking about? He said, there's a new trend in our society that men do not exert themselves in anything. They've gotten lazy. They've literally realized just enough to get by, and they've got enough time to sit on their cell phone for X amount of hours a day or play a game for this many hours. I'm talking about men. I ain't talking about young boys and teens. I'm talking about men that should be leaders of their home, that should be exerting themselves, if it be at their job and in their family. It says you don't have these days just to throw away. That's why men are getting so much in trouble in this time, because they find themselves bored. And when humanity is bored, they're going to try to find something to fill in that time. That doesn't mean that you don't ever get to kick your feet up. You can. But you ought to exert yourself, not only on your physical job, but spiritually as well. Do something for the kingdom of God. He says the day is at hand. Now, I looked this word up, and I realized I'm going to have to speed this along, because we're on our first point, and I ain't done anything so far getting this sermon so far. What is sleep? I looked the word up and thought just maybe a basic definition would really just shine some light on this, and my, did it not hit the nail on the head. Sleep, the dictionary defines, is as a state of inactivity with loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to the events taking place. When you are asleep and when you are slumbering, you are not conscious to what is going on. You are inactive. You are not doing anything at that moment. And even though we understand sleep is a healthy thing, it's a healthy part of life, too much of it is not good. I remember when I used to work for the state of North Carolina, just to share this with you. And they would lay us all off 1 month a year at first, when I first started, because if not, they would have to give you full-time benefits. And so they realized, if we lay you off, we don't have to pay your insurance. And so they figured out how to do that. So I loved it, you know, a whole month with nothing to do. I did that 1 year and realized, if you don't do, I was 21 years old. I realized, if you don't do anything for a month, it's hard to get back doing something later. I remember the first year, they said, we're going to lay you off. And I said, man, I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to spend money. Didn't have the money to spend. I realized you can't just lay around and spend money all day. Plant a garden or something, Derek. Take a hike. Go help your grandma do something. Go cut grass somewhere. Make some side money. That first year, I remember, and all of a sudden I had to go back to work. And it was like a kid that's been out of school all summer having to go back to school. Had that alarm clock go off, and I'm like, ain't no way. Life ain't supposed to be this way. That's what I felt like at that time. It was young. It was ignorant. I realize, guess what? Even when you're laid off, still get up at a decent time. Still find something to do. And do something, if not because the days run together and you become unproductive. Now, I realize, and I am not throwing this at the retired people. God bless you. You put your years in and, you know, live it. And God bless you all. Please don't feel like I'm saying that. For us that are younger, but I will tell you this. Even if you're retired, don't go to sleep spiritually, please. Stay alive. Let God help you. Amen. We better move along here. I don't want to get in trouble. Someone said years ago, it's an old quote. Some people make things happen. Some people watch things happen. And some people don't know what to do when something's happening. Now, how to tie all that together is this. Be involved in what God is doing. Be a part of what is happening. But for us, for now is our salvation nearer, he said, than we believe. Closer is the return of Christ. We should have a new incentive to holy living, to doing the things of God. Our second point is this. He says, not only wake up, but you need to throw off. It says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The dawn is coming. The soldier needs to get out of his pajamas and get on his armor and realize the hour in which he lives. Now, these deeds that it mentions, it says, take these deeds of darkness and throw them off. I know most of you in this room, some of you very intimately, I hope a lot of this don't apply to you. Rioting and carousing. It means partying out in the streets, and I hope none of you are doing that. As a matter of fact, if you're doing that and I don't know about it, quit doing it. Get right with God. You ain't supposed to be running out in the streets and partying, all right? Cast it off. Second thing it says is drunkenness. And again, we don't believe in sipping saints here at Abundant Life Tabernacle. Hey, we don't believe in intoxication. Amen. We don't believe that you ought to be drunk and drinking beer. There's nothing beneficial about all that stuff. You are not to do it. And if you're drinking here, and you just quit doing it. And give it all to God, all right? And just in case you're shocked by that, if you were raised in any form of Pentecostal church, it's always been the stance, and it always will be. Chambering and wantonness. This means lustful acts and greed. Once again, that's things I know most of you, these things that I wouldn't even see this in your life. If it's there, you need to get it right with God. But here's something that we often overlook. Envying and strife. I don't drink. Good. Brother Derek, I'm not out there in the streets, you know, acting crazy. I don't go to the clubs. I hope not. All right. I'm faithful to my spouse. You better be. But are you conflictive? Are you full of strife? Are you full of envying? Felt pretty good up to this point. If you ain't careful, these things matter too. Do you have to be? You cannot be that negative, conflictive person. Unwillingness to take second place is what these words means. Always contending. Brother Derek, what is the key to living this? He gives it to you in the first part of the verse. Let us walk honestly. Honest people. How old and traditional is that? That if I tell you something, I'm going to do it. You know, when I was younger, I remember the elders would say, I remember my days, you didn't sign anything, you just shook hands. Now it's sad, we don't live in that day no more. If it worked, how many people would go up to the dealership and say, give me that $40,000 vehicle, and I'll promise you right now, God bless you. You want to buy my house? Yeah, here you go, right here, put it right there. That's not the day we live in, is it? But at one point, you read the Old Testament, there was days of covenant. They didn't sign a bunch of papers. It was you, the person, and God. Now look, I know we live in a society and we have to have checks and balances and we need these things. And if you sell anything to anybody, get them to sign the paper. Type up the bill of sale, get all that stuff straight. That's the day we live in. But ultimately, even if there's nothing signed, it's still you, the person, and God. You say, well, legally I can get around it. Well, through God you can't. He says, walk honestly. Whatever happened in a world, just be decent people. Is that too much to ask? Just be a good neighbor. Now, once again, I consider you decent people. I enjoy eating food with you, talking with you, having picnics with you. You're decent folk. God's good. But I want to let you know, it's not like this everywhere. I've been around enough people in church, the church world, long enough. There's some people that said they'll do this, they'll never do it. There's some people that'll talk bad about you and do this and do that. He's saying here, let us walk honestly. Paul tells us that word walk there. It means the outward life of a Christian. What men see, we ought to walk honestly. Even if your neighbor is a sinner, they ought to look at you as an honest person. If your neighbor can't say nothing good about you, unless they're completely conniving and trying to start something, they ought to look at you as a decent person. Don't need to be a mean person or a bad person or a self-righteous person. We just simply need to be decent folk. We need to be honest. But then he tells us in verse 14, just to move along here, he says we need to put on. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, he says this word, put on the armor of light. He tells us to behave properly, be decent people. What he's saying is, take off your pajamas and put on your day clothes and put on your armor and realize the day that you are living in. I'm trying to figure out how to say everything I want to say in the right way in a short time. Recently, I've been doing a little reading about church ethics and church situations and some of the new trends in our society. And they're saying the church world is not getting more honest, I guess you could say. It's getting more sloppy. That's what they're saying. Now you could say, well, that's true externally too. I still ain't got much to say for preachers with holes in their jeans on purpose. And we'll walk around and get up. Could you imagine me being up here this morning, me spiking my hair, putting a big old pair of holes in my jeans up here so you can see my kneecap, and me going to tell you about the love of God? Some of you, I can already look at you, and you say, brother, no, it ain't going to happen. So I'm not saying that's what yes, we're getting sloppy externally, but even more than that, we are moving into a day and a time with what that is on the external is showing up on the internal, and people are getting more sloppy in their character as well. How do you marry the two? That's up to you. How you can find the balance in all of that. But I'll tell you this, we are living in a sloppy world. We've talked even here recently. We have safeguards in place at church here. It ain't uncommon to hear about another pastor somewhere leaving his wife. It's not uncommon in our society. It's not uncommon to find another man being addicted to pornography. That's not uncommon in the church world when you read about it. It's not uncommon to find another woman that's found some emotional relationship with a guy on the job. That's not uncommon when you read about what's going on in the church world. It's not uncommon to find a church up the road somewhere that misappropriated the funds and all this happened and the secretary or the pastor took off with all the treasurer's money. That's not uncommon in the day in which we live. What causes it to be? I'll tell you what it is. Because we do not realize the urgency of the hour. Just because you're saved, it can happen to you too if you are casual enough about it. He tells us to put on the armor of light. The armor tells us to walk. And then my last point is this, and I'm going to close. He tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The most compelling statement of all is right here. Put on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Become like Him. Let that be your goal. You need to put on Christ more than you put on anything. When people look at you, let them see Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. As my wife goes to the piano. We're living in the darkest hour. We're living in the night which comes just before the dawn. We are nearer to the end than we ever have been before. And this is what we've got to understand. We are at war. We are. Here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, please just give me a minute of your time. This is a covenant family. What do you mean, Brother Derek? Which means when you're here today, you're stating before everybody else, when you say that you're a Christian and that you're loving the Lord, that when you say that, you're meaning that with everything that's within you. You know, could you imagine, I've never been in the military, but we have a lot of men here that have served in some branch of the military somewhere. How many of you still remember boot camp? Okay, hands all over this building. Will you ever forget it? You won't forget it. Now, what would have happened to you? And I don't know. I went to Paris Island when my brother was graduating from the Marines. I was about 15 years old, I think I was. And I watched them drill instructors. And I'm telling you, their necks are real thick and they're short and they're screaming. And I thought to myself, I said, yeah, if I go to the military, it won't be the Marines. I don't know how the other ones are, but that's just what I saw. I see some of the meanest people I ever saw in my life. I mean, I had my hat on backwards. I turned it straight. Pulled my pants up. I said, I think I'm just acting proper while I'm here. Anyhow, and I was a rebel. But can you imagine what it was like or what it would be like? And some of you might be able to relate. If in the morning, say it's 5 in the morning. I think my brother said they got up around 4 or 5, something like that, whatever the time was. You know, they have to get up. They have to put on a certain garb and all this stuff. What if he went out there and had pajamas on, standing in line? And the drill instructor came by and, you know, doing roll call, whatever you want to call it, and comes to my brother. And he's sitting there in his pajamas and he's yawning and he's like, all right, let's just get going with their day. You know, let's. What do you think would happen? We could only imagine. We could only imagine. But when we are enlisted in the army of God, we don't need to be casual. We don't need to be casual. And I'm not just talking about this. I'm talking about spiritually. We need to realize the day that we are in and the hour that we live. What I want to do today is this. We're not going to pray around the altars. I want to do something a little different. I want to make a commitment one to another. Pastor to church. Church to pastor. Brothers to sisters. That we're going to live this honestly. And that's all I'm asking. Look, I realize that some of you, many of us got different backgrounds. I've always been raised in an old school Pentecostal church. I've always been raised this way. I realize everybody hadn't been raised just like me, but this goes the same for all of us. You ought to be so diligent about your faith. You ought to desire to know the truth so much that you being a hypocrite would be out the question, and that you're living this with everything that you have. How many will say that with me today? Brother Derek, I'm going to live it with all I have. What I want to do today, once again, I realize that not signing a piece of paper, I'm not giving you nothing to sign today, but I just simply want you to want to do this. Between you and me and you, brothers and sisters, that you make a covenant with one another. What I'm trying to say is God's merciful here. He's graceful. You may be somebody here today that's been asleep. You've been lazy in your faith. You hadn't been fighting like you should. God's not condemning you. He's simply saying, wake up. Throw off and put on. I want that to be our commitment today. I'm going to pray. And I'm asking God that this prayer will be binding on your life. And that if there's any bit of mixture in your heart, any hypocrisy, God, you could deal with it today. And you'll wake up. And you'll realize the day we live. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father.